welcome to Lesson 11, Braille Bits. Today is my great privilege to introduce our special guest, Karen Kenninger. Karen has served as the director of the Iowa Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped for 8 years, and then served as director of our agency, the Iowa Department for the Blind, for 4 years. She is the current director of the National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled, Library of Congress, since March of 2012. Wow! Karen is also a very strong advocate for Braille. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you.
So, Karen, can you tell us more about yourself and why you're passionate about Braille?
I would be delighted to, and thank you so much for inviting me to speak on the podcast. Braille is a very, very important part of my life and has been an important part of my life since I was a little girl. Let's see, where shall I start? When I was 7 years old, I learned to read Braille because they finally figured out that I really couldn't see well enough to read print. And it took off for me as the medium of my literacy. And I'll tell you some more about how I've used Braille over the years and why it is so important. But let me give you just a brief history of my career and myself. I began working at the Iowa Department for the Blind in 1995 in the VR area. In 2000, I took over the Iowa Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped as the director, and it was just a real honor for me to become part of that library because I had been using that library as a reader since I was 7 years old. And one of my fondest memories of childhood is getting books in the mail, wrapped up in brown paper and string, Braille books that I would unwrap and save the paper very carefully, roll up the string, read the books.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I was supposed to be going to sleep, and then send them back in the mail and get more. That was like Christmas every day for me. It was really very exciting.
That's awesome.
When I was, after I had been working at for 8 years at the library in Iowa as the director, I accepted the position of director of the whole agency and spent 4 years in that position. And then I got the dreamest job of my life, if that is a word. And that is to be the director of the National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled. And the reason that that has been so important for me and so exciting is it has given me the opportunity to promote Braille.
Yes.
Most of our people who use our services are audio readers. Most of them are older who haven't learned Braille. But those of us who do use Braille value it very highly because Braille is for us, our literacy medium, in this very same way that print is the literacy medium for the sighted person. And as the sighted person, if you can think about what would happen to you and how it would feel if all of a sudden you weren't allowed to read or you weren't able to read print and you had the audio option, but you didn't have print, there would be a lot of things that you would miss.
That's
you
right.
Would not the deep literacy of a literate person. You would miss out on the spelling, the punctuation, and all those things that make text really valuable.
Yes.
There's a real place for audio materials, particularly for leisure reading and that sort of thing. But when it comes to numbers, when it comes to study, when it comes to deep reading and deep appreciation of language and you know, beautiful prose, beautiful poetry. And also on the other side of that, when it comes to writing, if you haven't read, you can't write. It just is axiomatic. You don't know how to punctuate. You don't know how to spell. You don't know where you should put the paragraphs. You don't know how to create a document that other people, sighted people, blind people, any people would be able to use and would consider that you were competent to do that. So when the person goes off to school and has to learn to read, Braille should be the option for anybody who would have any difficulty reading print because of vision. And then when they go off to college and in beyond that into a career, if they are a literate person with a literacy medium, the ability to read and write and the understanding of language at that level, you're going to have a lot better opportunity for jobs, and you're going to have a lot more opportunity for promotion. If you can imagine having a child, a sighted child, going to school and not being allowed to learn to read print, and the devastation that that would cause that child's career, that child's upbringing. I've seen it happen, not intentionally, but I've seen it happen with kids who were had enough vision to kind of get started in print, like I did, but then they never got switched over into Braille, and they were never became good readers. My first husband was in that category. It was really very sad to see the difficulties that caused because of the fact that, you know, not being a good reader puts you in a lot of awkward situations, actually. So I was privileged to be, this is going to sound a bit odd, but I was privileged to be blind enough, young enough, to get the Braille and to get it thoroughly. So today, how do I use Braille? Well, on my desk, you will see a refreshable Braille device on which I take notes and read off of. You will see a Perkins Braille writer for quick, easy notes. You will see a computer with a Braille out display attached to it, as well as, you know, JAWS in it. You will see Braille wherever I am. And the reason is that I need those options in order to keep up with what I have at this point in my life is a pretty busy job with a lot of different pieces, a lot of different things going on. And having that Braille available to me is really important. And because I think it is so important, I have made some serious efforts, which are now paying off. I'm so excited about
this. Yay, yes.
To actually add more Braille to the NLS program in the form of digital Braille.
Which is great.
Digital Braille is much quicker and easier to create than paper Braille. And although there is a very strong place for paper Braille, especially for younger children, digital Braille can bring much Braille into the hands of a reader. But the equipment that a person needs to read digital Braille has been out of reach for a lot of people who would be readers otherwise, because it's pretty expensive, and it has been. So my dream when I came to Washington 8 years ago now was to add a digital Braille device to the NLS program so that not only can we provide a talking book machine, but we can also provide a digital Braille device. And then with that available to all of our Braille readers, we would be able to do a lot more Braille because we'd be able to produce digital Braille, and we could produce a great deal more of it. And people would be able to avoid some of the hassles of paper Braille,
right?
That is, such as the mailing process for some people is difficult. Just handling the book, storing things, all of those things that people sometimes don't find to be particularly friendly. So the digital Braille devices that I dreamed about, I'm holding one in my hand as we speak. It has.
And what
Braille
is it?
It's called the NLS Braille e-reader. We have two different styles of it that we'll be testing. We're in the early testing phases for both of them. Two different vendors, two different styles, but they each have 20 cells. They each have Braille keyboards and cursor routing buttons, and they will be intended as readers. They're not going to replace my note taker. That's not the intention is to make it easy to read library materials and other types of materials. So they will handle a regular Braille file, what we would call a BRF file. They will handle a text file and a Word file and an HTML file, I think.
That's great.
So you'll be able to read those types of documents on the device. You'll be able to choose your contraction format if you want to, not in the Braille files, but in the print ones. And you will be able to access Bard, which is our download service, directly from the device. Mm-hmm. That's also very exciting to me.
Yes.
And it will have some other capabilities as well. So we are hoping to have a pilot of these devices in people's hands by July or August at the latest. Hopefully this COVID situation will not delay that, although it may. And then to start rolling them out in the next couple of years so that we'll have one for everybody. It's still, in pilot stage, but it's very exciting. I've got it in my hand. I'm reading the book. almost finished with it. Ought to probably test some of its other functionality, but the book is too good to put down.
I had somebody call the other day about it. They're pretty excited. They're pretty excited. And again, it ties back to celebrating Braille. And I don't know, I think of all of these different devices used as, you know, different. I always call it my tool belt, my tools in the toolbox.
Absolutely.
And that's available is just very key. I love it. I think it's great. And I know that our library is looking forward to it. I do know that. And I know that people are excited because they are reaching out and eager about it. But yeah, I imagine your desk is full of all different types of devices and different, all the way to Perkins Brailler.
And paper braille besides, because some things like budget are difficult to do unless you can actually take them at your speed and slowly, and you know, not so much slowly, but read them the way that you want to read them and refer back up and down the columns. And those kinds of things are just impossible for me to do with speech. I know some people manage it, but for me, that's just not comfortable at all. So budget and that sort of thing. And I've got a big budget to make sure that I spend properly. So it's really important to be on top of that budget. Braille music is another thing that I use. I read Braille music, and I play the piano, and I'm learning to play the guitar. And we have a Braille music section at NLS, and we're trying to get all of our music digitized. But Braille music is also an important part of my life as well.
As a youth librarian, I feel like I should learn how to play the guitar. And I have a guitar. So Karen, maybe you and I can learn together, but I have a guitar. But for you to have shared all that information is just thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much. And Tim, for contacting you and reaching out, and thank you for that. But it's been such a joy having you here and sharing all this information. And I can tell when you talk about what you're doing and your purpose and your vision, I can feel it through the computer as we sit here on our Zoom meeting, because we're doing everything on Zoom right now. But I can just feel it. I can feel it. But I have a question, though, if you would be willing to help me with something. As a guest, and as a guest in a podcast, I always invite them to help me with a little bit of the lesson, the Braille Bits lesson. And I didn't know if you would want to talk about why this rule is the way it is and what it is. We're talking about is in lesson 11, we talk about as the first syllable of the word, the contractions, what the rules are for these contractions. Contractions for BE, which is dots 2-3, CON, which is dots 2-5, and the third first syllable of a word contraction, which would be dots 5-6, DIS. Can you tell me what the rules are for this, for these contractions, and why it's important that they are placed? Where are they placed in a word?
Oh, boy. let's see. You know, some of those rules change. I'm an old school person, so I'm pretty much English Braille, American edition.
Yeah.
And some of this has changed. And so are we talking about, I think... contractions at the beginning of the word traditionally have been intended to help with pronunciation.
Right. Yes, exactly.
So if it is, if the contraction BE is written, mm-hmm. you know, it's pronounced B, before, behind, beneath, whatever. If, for example, if you have B, if you have the word beneath, the Braille contraction for that is the BE sign and an N. And if you wrote the BE first and then the N, you would know it was B something. But if you wrote B and then an EN sign, you know that it was probably Ben, like in Benedict or something like that. So that's the reason for that one. The DIS, I'll tell you a little story about DIS. There's a word that in Braille that you would not use the DIS sign for, and that word is disheveled. And the reason is that the SH needs to be, it's not disheveled, it's disheveled. so you wouldn't use the DIS sign in the old way anyhow. I remember once when I was in college and my college instructor was talking about somebody who was disheveled. Matt! He was talking about someone who was disheveled.
Not that we're ever that way in our day-to-day living. No way.
No, of course not. No. And the CON, was that the other one you wanted?
Yes.
Again, it's a pronunciation. Concave, for instance, as opposed to cone.
Yes, thank you. Yes, cone.
Because if you said the CON sign E, it would not. You wouldn't do that because you would use the O-N-E sign for the own sign. So it's a pronunciation issue, which is actually quite an aid in pronunciation that sighted people don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes some interesting pronunciation sometimes.
Well, and here's before we met, Tim and I just talked briefly, and I said, I'm gonna see if she can help me. So I always ask guests to help with part of a lesson. And Tim was saying, oh, you can talk it, you can mention anything and she's going to understand it. And that's exactly what you did. You explained it. I love it, the examples that you give, because that's the takeaway, when you can understand what the rule is and how you use it and how important it is. So that's perfect. Yes, that's exactly what will help our listeners, is that information. Okay. Let me ask you one more thing, Karen. What do you do in your free time?
Oh, mercy. I read. I crochet, using braille patterns, by the way.
Awesome.
I love to travel, and then I love to write about my travels. And I sometimes I quip. And I play my guitar, actually. I put quite a lot of energy into my guitar playing. So.
Oh, okay, so you apparently know more than 4 chords or 2 chords, huh?
I probably have 6.
You're a little more advanced at this guitar playing than I am. That I can see. So maybe you can teach me.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I've been focusing on bluegrass, not Tim's rock. So.
Yeah. Well, I thank you so much, Karen, for coming today and being a part of this Braille Bits Lesson 11 and for all that you do. And I just know that you're always welcome back at any time. And I just can't say enough thank yous. And we're looking forward to what is about to roll out this summer and cannot wait. So
I'm really excited that Iowa is one of our pilot libraries. I didn't pick that, but I was I complimented those who did.
we're pretty excited, as we're incredibly excited. So. Thank you so much, Karen, and you have a marvelous, wonderful rest of your day. And stay well and healthy, please.
Thank you, I shall do. Thank you very much.
All right, you take care. Bye-bye.
All right.